bearing. I heard this week that they wanted to do away with Mother's Day as such, rename it. You know, I'm kind of the persuasion, if it ain't broke, don't break it. You know, if it works, let it continue, you know. And there's going to replace it with Acknowledgement Day. Just thought I'd throw that out. I kind of like Mother's Day and Father's Day better, don't you? Amen. And then along with those 2 days, every day of the year should be Jesus Day. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we do want to recognize our mothers this morning. So we have some roses and these, I don't know where they got all these fine looking young men, but they're going to be our ones that pass out the roses this morning. So we'd ask all of our mothers who are in attendance this morning to please stand. All mothers. Let's give them a hand. Okay, do all the mothers have a rose? Give them one more hand of acknowledgement. Amen. Mothers, thank you so very much for the wonderful job that you do, not only on Mother's Day, but all year long. God bless you, and you may be seated. Now I'd like to ask if there's anyone in the congregation today whose mother has already gone home to be with the Lord. Would you stand? Heaven's getting sweeter all the time, isn't it? Let us bow our heads in a moment of silent prayer and recognition for those precious mothers who have already gone home to their reward. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Wasn't going to do this morning, but I'm going to try. G maybe. There's a voice missing from our little country choir. Rock of Ages will never sound the same. God heard her singing, and heaven was not complete. Now mama's teaching angels how to sing. How to sing. Heaven calls her silent when mama sings. David lays down his heart. Heaven bells don't ring when mama
teaching angels how to sing. The old home seems empty. It's lonesome since she's gone. And it's hard to know she won't return again. But I'll meet her in the morning on heaven's golden shores, where mama's teaching angels how to sing. Mama, teaching angels how to sing. Heaven halls are silent when Mama sings. David lays down his heart. Heaven bells don't ring when Mama's teaching angels how to sing. David lays down his heart. Heaven bells don't ring when Mama's teaching angels how to sing. Thank God for mothers.
We do love our mothers, amen, and they're just special. God has an order for them, and thank God that He has blessed them with the Spirit, the knowledge. Men, I'm just going to tell you, they're more patient than we are. That's the reason that so many women drive school buses. And Brother Eddie tries to practice long-suffering and patience, but I believe I'd put half of them off. No, not really. Not really. But thank God for mothers. We do appreciate them so very much. If you have your Bible this morning, go with us to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, verse number 27 and 28. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, verses 27 and 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Can we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for your love, God, for your mercy and grace. Father, for this special day of recognition for our mothers. Father, we're so thankful for them, the great part that they play in our lives and in our church, God, and in your kingdom. And Father, I pray your blessing upon each and every family today. Ask now, Lord, that you would just anoint these lips of clay, God, this vessel this morning, God, to speak that you've laid upon our hearts, that we might be submissive to your word and to your will, that we might be obedient, God, to the word that we have before us. I pray, God, that you would be with us throughout this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. If your mother's here and you're close to her, give her a hug. Can you do that? Just give her a hug. Amen. Never get too old to give your mom a hug. Amen. Praise God. This is a particular passage of Scripture that we use when we are performing the dedication service of a baby, a child that is dedicated unto the Lord. An example given to us by the Word of God and by Hannah herself. Hannah was the wife of Elkanah. Elkanah had another wife who was very fruitful and had several children. His love for Hannah was just as great, just as deep as the love for his other wife.
but somehow Hannah could not bear children. And for this, she felt a little bit like that she was incomplete, that she was not, able to have a child that she wanted to rear in the fear and admonition of God. So she prayed a petition unto God. I mean, he knows that God specializes in impossibilities. We had a precious couple in our church that was in a revival meeting, and they had been married for several years, and they had prayed and desired that they would be able to have a child, but as yet they were not able to have any children. Doctors told them that most likely they would not be able to bear children. So they began to think about the possibility of adoption or some other vehicle or means in order to have a child. There was a revival meeting going on, as I said. The evangelist was used in the Spirit of God in the ministry of helps, and also in the ministry of wisdom and knowledge, meaning that God spoke to him many, many times. I know God speaks to all of us, but how many knows that God does choose special vessels that he speaks through, prophets and prophecy that comes forth? This man of God does not just take this lightly, but he prayed and fasted continuously. It is amazing if you knew the time spent in prayer, dedication and meditation and fasting before the Lord in order to be able to conduct this ministry that the Lord laid upon his heart. He did not take it lightly. He did not speak just to be speaking. He never made a prophet or prophecy or a promise that was not backed up by the Holy Spirit. But he called this couple forward, did not know them, did not know their history, did not know anything about them, but called them forward. He began to prophesy over them and told them that they would, in fact, conceive and have a child. Not only did that prophecy come true, but they had two beautiful girls. Those girls got married and have children of their own. Amen. God specializes in impossibilities. Amen. I still believe that God answers prayer today. I know that God can give us the desires of our heart. Hannah prayed. God granted her prayer. So many times we think her only child was Samuel, but in fact she had two or three other sons and two daughters as well. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. God can do what no man can do. I want to speak just a little while this morning concerning a mother's love. As Hannah prayed for this child and God granted her petition and gave her this child who was Samuel, who grew up to be a mighty prophet of God himself, these are some things that I believe that a mother must obtain. A mother's love must include several different characteristics. And I want to spend just a little time this morning on each one of them. First of all, in Proverbs chapter number 1, verse 8 and 9. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. The writer says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy neck, and chains about unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." So that tells me that a mother's love must include not only prayer. Amen. We know that our mothers are praying. Amen. Many of us are here today, amen, and have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because of the prayers of our mothers. Amen. And generations have taught us that prayer works. But it also must include instruction. I believe that a mother and a father's obligation to their children is to instruct them, not only in the ways of the world, not only in education, which we stand by and promote wholeheartedly, but also in the ways of the Lord. Amen. I believe the single most important thing that we can do as parents is raise our children in the fear and admonition of God. Instruct them to love God. Instruct them to serve God. Instruct them to put God first in every facet of their life, whatever avenue that takes them down this road, whether it be successful or unsuccessful or whatever the case may be, always put the Lord first. And this is something that is also a continuation. Amen. We don't just tell our children one time, but we continue to instruct them. And we have the Word of God to back that up, that we instruct our children in the ways that they should go, in the ways that the Lord would have them to go. Many, many times, small children, when asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Aspirations are high. Goals are lofty. But a child, the faith of a child, believes that he can attain whatever he or she says they want to do. We know that life changes sometimes, and sometimes our ambitions change, and sometimes our goals change. We don't always turn out to be exactly what we plan to be. Well, I plan to be at 21 years old, completely financial independent, and never work another day in my life. But that ain't working out real good for me. It was a high and lofty goal, but not very easily attained. So we allow them to project goals. We allow them to have lofty goals, but we also give them a dose of reality. My mom played a very important role in my life, and she used to tell me, she looked at my hand. Now, don't everybody go out of church this morning saying that my mother was a palm reader. She's not. Never has been, never will be. But to get a point across to me, she said, let me see your hand. So I gave her my hand, and she said, you see that right? That's the lifeline. I didn't know what it was. I just thought it was creases in my hand. She said, you see that M right there? And I said, yes. She said, that means you're going to have money. I said, all right. I got two of them. Does that mean I'm going to have lots of money? She said, but let me show you something. She took my hand, turned it around, said, you see that W right there? And I said, yes. She said, that means you're going to have to work for it. Amen. Good advice. Amen. Good instruction. So a mother's love must contain instruction. Amen. On a daily basis, sometimes we have to reiterate those things. You don't just tell your child one time and expect them to get that in their little memory banks. You have to continually instruct them. And it's so very important to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6. Another scripture that we use in the dedication of children. A lot of people assume that the dedication of children is all about the child. Well, mostly it is, but a great part of it is directed to the parents. Amen? When we dedicate our child, there is the commitment on the parents in order to raise that child, to rear that child, amen, so that it will most likely, at a natural age or an age of accountability, will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and live for the Lord all the days of their life. So it's an important commitment, an important obligation to the parents of that child when that dedication service is performed. And the Bible tells us that we should train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I know a lot of people say, well, I raised my child in church, I instilled into them, and they grew up and they wandered away or they drifted away. But I can tell you, if properly trained, that seed is still in them. Amen? That seed will never, ever leave them. They may not be committed. They may not be dedicated. They may not be in the service of the Lord as they should be, or as parents we want them to be. But I will assure you, if properly trained, that seed is still alive and well in that soul. And I believe with all of my heart, when that seed has been planted, there will be a time when that seed will begin to grow and they'll realize, amen, you know, it may be way on up in their life, but they realize mom and dad were right. Mom and dad knew what they were talking about. I may have drifted away. I may have grown away from my raising, but the seed that is there, and it's ever calling me back to the Father's house. Amen. It's ever calling me back to a life of commitment and dedication to my Lord and Savior. If we have trained them right and imparted that wisdom and knowledge from the Word of God into their spiritual training. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Many read this as a commitment of children, but again, I believe where there is a commitment on the child's part, there's also and must be a commitment on the part of the parents, mother and fathers alike. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. Say that with me this morning. This is right. Right. Amen. Regardless of political correctness, regardless of popular opinion, I want to be obedient to the Word of God. Amen. Even after I have grown and on the head of my own household, I still want to be obedient under my parents. I still want to recognize and believe what they have told me. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Very important instructions there. I want to pay particular attention to two words, nurture and admonition. I believe that a mother's love must include nurture and admonition. I know the nurture part is wonderful. Nobody can nurture a child like a mother. It is special that God has given them that wonderful ability, amen, to be able to settle a child down. Many, many times when our children were crying, sometimes it took mother to take them in her arms. It took my wife to hold them. Somehow, some way, that doesn't mean that she loved them any more than I did. Doesn't mean that she would give up any more than I would, but it was something special about the nurturing ability of a mother to be able to take that child. And I believe it has to do all with because that mother carried that child ever before it was born. I believe there was a special unity there. So they have that wonderful ability. So a mother's love not only must include nurture, but it also must include admonition. Love, care, and correctness, okay? Love is easy. Care is a little bit more involved. And correctiveness, amen, is a lot more involved. Because we must correct our children. We must instruct our children. And as we love them, then we want them to make good decisions. We want them to grow up, amen, and fit in society. But we also want them to do it right, the right way, with a righteous and loving heart. Good moral upbringing, amen, will always produce benefits. Can you say amen? And so many times we depend on society to correct our children or society to raise our children, but it's not their obligation. It is, in fact, the obligation of a loving mother and a loving father. So we must train our children. We must give them nurture, and we must also admonish or correct them when we know that they're wrong. Amen. And I used to hear mothers say, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And I know we're supposed to believe what mother says, but I never really could grasp that. Amen. Until I became a parent. Then I was able to acknowledge what she was talking about. And finally this morning, I want to turn to what is often referred to as the love chapter, and that is Corinthians chapter number 13. So many times, this beautiful phraseology, this beautiful scripture that is poemed here so excellently by the writer here, the Apostle Paul, is used at wedding ceremonies, and rightfully so, as when two lives are joined together to become one flesh according to the Word of God. The decisions made should be made together. Commitment should be trust, and all of those things that accompany love when the joining of two precious souls are involved. But I believe it also can apply to us as parenting. Can I tell you that parenting is an awesome responsibility? Yes, amen. It doesn't just end after that child is born. In fact, I would believe to say that that is when it begins, the real job, the real chore. It's a love, a hard love sometimes, but it's a commitment, and it requires a great deal of responsibility. Love is the easy part. We're naturally going to love a child. How could you not love a child that's been born and hold that precious child in your arms, whether it's yours or somebody else? You know, we all just love babies. When we go to the hospital, you're going to go to the nursery, and you're going to look and see the little precious babies, and you ooh and ah and all. That love is easy, amen, because you're going to love that child. But what the difficult part is rearing that child and be responsible for that child and instruct that child and be with that child day in and day out and encourage them to do the right thing. So the Bible tells us here that charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. As I said, that not only applies to the marriage or the union of husband and wife, but I believe it also can be applicable to us as parents as we begin to raise our children. Love that is kind. Amen? Kindness. You know, we all remember the kindness of our parents, the kindness of our mother, the gentleness of our mother. When we had, they call them boo-boos today. I didn't have boo-boos. I had cuts and scrapes. I don't know the difference, but I had cuts and scrapes. And I'd always go to mother, and it was amazing the healing sensation and the miraculous touch of Mercurochrome. I believed in Curechrome. I had all the faith in the world in Mercurochrome. If I had a cut or scratch or a briar, if I could just get some Mercurochrome, I believed that I would be okay. And the Mercurochrome that I had, that mother always had, was the reddish orange. I mean, it was like fluorescent. And, you know, you were proud of those things. You know, that's when you wanted to wear your short pants and your short sleeve shirt, because you wasn't ashamed to be covered and spotted with Mercurochrome, because that meant you were tough and you had cuts and bruises and all. But then I went to school, and for some reason, some of the kids in my school had purple Mercurochrome. Oh, how I wanted purple Mercurochrome. I thought that was the neatest thing in the world. I thought the red-orange was really great until I saw the purple Mercurochrome. And then I went home, but my mother did not like purple Mercurochrome, so I've never in my life one time have had the opportunity to cover my cuts and bruises with purple Mercurochrome. But I said the red-orange for a long period of my life. So the gentleness and the kindness of mother when she would take care of those cuts and scrapes. And not only that, when I grew a little bit older, I realized that sometimes the hardest cuts and scrapes and bruises are not on the physical body, but they're on the spirit. Sometimes when feelings would be hurt, sometimes when things did not go my way, sometimes when I had issues in school or something like that, Mercurochrome wouldn't do that. But I could go home and talk it over with mother and dad, and they seemed to know just exactly what to say and how to help me cope with these situations. And let me tell you something, moms and dads, if you don't believe adolescents can have stress, you're very wrong. They can have stress. They can have a lot of stress. Peer pressure is just as real in the elementary schools as it is in our life in the workplace. Amen. And they need guidance. They need understanding. They need to help. And they also need to be told that, you know what? Life is sometimes pretty tough. You're not going to always get everything that you want. Oh, man, that was such a shocker to me. Because just being two of us, my brother and I, we were used to getting pretty much everything that we wanted. Then we got to school and we found out, hey, we're in a real world now. And we found out that life is not going to give you everything that you want. And this is part of that love that is kind. And it also is the love that is unselfish. Amen. When mom and dad would give us the last cookie, or mom and dad would do something for us or sacrifice and maybe not buy something that they needed or wanted in order to buy something for my brother and I. And that unselfish love, it still, even when we were grown, they still loved us with that unselfish love. And it also goes on to say that love is patient. I've already mentioned that. Sometimes we don't understand the patient and the long-suffering with children. I know my mother used to tell me, you are trying my patience. And you saw me take two steps back. I've done that all my life. I did it now, and she's not even here this morning. When she told me I was trying her patience, I took a couple of steps back because I knew the wrath was about to come up. It's a loving wrath, but it was still wrath. Amen. So I was very, very careful. And I also, whenever she told me, you're on my last nerve. My last nerve. I don't know how many she had, but I found a way to get on her last nerve. And I still, amen, have horrible thoughts of getting on her last nerve. But it's unselfish. It's patient. It's truthful. Be truthful with your children. Man, you know, just be truthful with them. Man, sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes truth is hard to swallow. But I'll assure you they'll be better off for it if you're just truthful with them. Be understanding. And finally, not least, certainly last but not least, love needs to be enduring. Man, you need to love them forever as Christ loved us. I hope that we will take these things to heart. I hope that we will apply these things. It even applies as grandparents. We kind of soften up as grandparents. We're a little tougher when we're raising our children, but somehow being grandparents, we slack up just a little bit, and we sort of let them get by. And you know what? They pick up on that. They learn that pretty quick. You know, they can get things from our grandparents that sometimes they might not be able to do or get by with their parents. That's because of the responsibility thing. We don't raise ours. They're your responsibility now. We just spoil them and send them home. But love your children. And moms and dads, love each other, because a lot of times, whether we realize it or not, children begin to take on the characteristics of their parents. If they saw love in the home, they'll have love in the home. If they had commitment and dedication and God-fearing parents, they're going to try to do that and mimic that. It's just a way of life. So you are setting an example. I want to close this morning with something that I ran across. I didn't know if I still had this or not, but this is something that I wrote several years ago when we were having the church newsletter, and I wrote it, and it had nothing to do about Mother's Day or Father's Day. It's entitled Unselfish Love, but as I read this, it all comes back to me now how this can be applied in our life, amen, and especially when we are dealing with parents, amen, who have got age upon them. And sometimes that responsibility flips. We were their responsibility at one time, but sometimes when fathers and mothers get into a case where they need the children to look after them and take care of them. And this was several years ago. It's entitled Unselfish Love. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. That's found in John chapter 19, verses 26 and verse 27. Even in death, Jesus showed an unselfish love. His concern that his mother would be taken care of overshadowed his pain and agony on the cross. He was able to convey his beloved disciple to care for his mother just as if she was his own. This was not meant as an heroic act, but as a genuine request to a friend to take his mother to love and care for her in his absence. The very fact that he made this request shows the true unselfish love of our precious Lord. This should be an example for all humanity to follow. It should be viewed as an honor to care for your parents. We should help to provide for them even if it's not convenient. As Jesus put his own feelings aside to express concern for those he loved, he exemplified the love we are to show one to another. In a world where selfish desires seem to be the norm, Christians should break free from this kind of attitude to set an example of selfless love. By putting others ahead of ourselves, we are fulfilling the commandment of love taught by Jesus himself. It is easy to say, I love you, but love comes with commitment and obligation. Jesus practiced unselfish love throughout his walk here on earth. He showed compassion to the crowds of poor and afflicted people who gathered to hear his ministry. He not only healed their bodies, but he also fed them on several occasions. Jesus sacrificed his own body in order for others to live. He chose to die on an old rugged cross to bear the weight of our sin for the entire world. The intense brutality suffered by Christ was endured without remorse so that the world might be saved. The unselfish love exhibited by Jesus is an example for all to follow. We must love each other as Christ first loved us. Loving someone means that we are dedicated to caring for them, regardless of the circumstances. By being unselfish, we are merely thinking of others before ourselves, which is exactly what Jesus did. And I believe that's the type of love that our mothers and fathers exhibited in the raising of their children and the raising of you this morning. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day. If you got your mother with you, hug her. Give her a big old hug and a kiss. If mom's not with you, I will assure you there's a part of her that still lives in you. And be thankful for that. Be thankful for the seed that she has planted in your heart and in your spirit. So God bless you on this day. We will not be having service tonight. This is to give you an opportunity to spend some precious and quality time with mother and the family. And if you have children, then I know that they're going to want to spend some time with you. So if you would stand at this time with all heads bowed, every eye closed, and every saint of God praying, even though it's Mother's Day, and even though we have opportunity to be with our parents, we never, ever want to negate the fact that this altar is always open. So if you have a need this morning, if you have a prayer request, if you have a situation in your life, please come before the altar this morning. The elders will pray with you and pray for you this morning. I'll give you just a few moments if there's anyone who needs prayer to come forward. Praise God. Some of you, if you would, gather around and let's pray this morning for these needs.